The Bible and Modern Science with your host, Dr. Joseph Henson of the Science Faculty of Bob Jones University. Here is Dr. Henson.
Thank you. On our last program, we began talking about the exoskeleton of insects, and we're pointing out something of its complexity and certainly the necessity of it. And we had simply made the comment that there is no reasonable basis to think that this structure could have evolved somehow. The evolution of it purely and simply is a problem, but according to evolutionist argument, at every stage, it also must have been useful to the organism. And how a half-formed exoskeleton would be of use to the organism, I'm not real sure. It's interesting to me. It was when I was in graduate school. I made the comment that the chitin, the protein that is the primary component of most of the exoskeleton, is an organic molecule. It is really almost identical to a glucose molecule, glucose being that sugar that you find in carbohydrates, the source of the bulk of the energy that our bodies use for whatever they're doing. And to think that the very stable, difficult exoskeleton, difficult to break down, is really very closely akin to the easily soluble glucose molecule, always has intrigued me. Probably a good simple description of the exoskeleton, it is simply a nitrogenous polysaccharide. Saccharide is the root for sugar. Poly means many molecules. So chitin is simply a layer on the outside of all of the arthropods that is made up of essentially a glucose molecule with nitrogen ions attached to the molecule regularly to form that material that is so different from what sugar would be. We won't pursue this at length, but it still is interesting to me. In our part of the country, if you're out in the walking around in the woods much, occasionally you will come across, particularly if you're close to streams, you will come across animal fecal material, coons, for example, in particular. And often, if you take the trouble to poke around in that, which I'm sure most people do not, you will find raccoons, of course, will eat most anything. They are notoriously omnivorous, but they will often eat crawdads or insects, and you will find that the insect, the exoskeleton, the material of the exoskeleton, has passed through the digestive tract of these animals and is still intact. Often you will find dead arthropods, the exoskeleton still intact. The other organic material of the body, if it has been broken open or eaten, of course it's gone. But if the animal simply died over a period of time, the other material of the body will simply rot, decay. And long after that soft organic material has gone, the chitin is still there. So one of the things that's necessary is that it needs to be pretty much impervious. It has to have the ability to keep those things that are outside the body of the organism outside, and to keep those things inside the body of the organism inside. There has to be some way, obviously, for oxygen to get through, and there are some tubes. We've talked about that before. There are little openings on the body of insects and other arthropods known as spiracles. And these are openings that open into a system of tubes that form the respiratory system. And this is how oxygen gets in. So that's necessary. But you don't want, at least the insect does not want, toxins, poisons, insecticides, if you will, entering the body. If they do, then the organism dies. And by the same token, the food material, the chemicals that are necessary for the life of the organism, it can't have those leaking out somehow. If that happens, then the organism is not going to do well. I remember number of years ago when my sons were still young, we were up at a state park here in South Carolina camping one weekend, and as I was generally doing back in those days, I was collecting insects for some collections I was making. And I found, I think it was my number two son called me and had found something that was rather interesting. When I went over, it was a crane fly, a tapulid. Most of you, I suspect, are not familiar with these. Some people think they're giant mosquitoes, and some of them get to be fairly sizable. Some will have a wingspread, 1.5 or 2 inches sometimes. But this one was on the ground with its wings beating frantically, simply bobbing up and down there on the ground. And I didn't pay much attention at first, but when I looked at it carefully, what I discovered was it didn't have a head. Now, it was capable of motion, capable of a lot of things without the head. But here was a very definite break in the exoskeleton, and if nothing else, all of the contents of the body, intestinal tract, etc., was going to leak out, and sooner or later it was going to die. But at that point, it was still able to exhibit indications of life. But for an organism to stay alive and to follow the normal processes of life, that exoskeleton has to be quite impervious in both directions. Part of the reason for this is that some of the layers of the exoskeleton have fatty material in them, which simply would retard liquid water from coming in either direction through the exoskeleton. And there are some salts, some other things that are there. But the material itself is necessary. It is unique. I am not aware of anything else in nature that resembles this. And it is doing well what is necessary for it to do for the arthropods. This would lead us perhaps to a discussion of teleology or purposiveness. And it has been my observation that when we run across things that are purposive, they are produced by a creator. In some cases, creator might be a man. If you're walking along out in the woods and happen to find an arrowhead, I really don't think most folks sit around pondering how that arrowhead could have formed itself, somehow banged into rocks and formed the edges and the shape of the arrowhead and so on. You look at it, you recognize that it is the product of an intelligent mind. And when we look at something like chitin, the material of the exoskeleton of arthropods, it seems to me the same notion is applicable. Here we find a purposive material that is necessary for the well-being of the organism. It didn't just happen. It was created by an intelligent creator and has and will continue to provide the functions that are necessary for those organisms which have it. And why many people are able, almost it seems to me without thought, to leap over the problem of purposiveness and somehow come to the conclusion that these things which are purposive and complex somehow came into existence without the necessity of a creator. I'm not able to follow that kind of reasoning. Thought it might be interesting to describe at least briefly the exoskeleton. That material on the outside of arthropods, the single term for it is a cuticle. And it's characteristic, of course, of any of the arthropods. There are basically three layers to the cuticle. The epicuticle. There is no chitin in this. This is a layer, a non-cellular layer made up of different kinds of organic molecules. There is a cement layer. There is a wax layer. There is a polyphenol layer, and there is a cuticulin layer. I'm sure those names do not mean much to most of you. Some of the names may suggest something to you. But these four layers, put together the way they are very effective in not allowing the movement of fluids through the exoskeleton of the organism. Wax layer would suggest that, certainly. The polyphenol layer, in some cases of some of the insects or arthropods, is really the basis of the color of the exoskeleton. The middle layer is the exocuticle, and it is made up of chitin and a protein that is known as sclerotin. And the exocuticle, most of that is really the sclerotin. Now, the sclerotin is a very interesting material. Excuse me. For those of you that live around the ocean and have seen, for example, lobster shells, and particularly their pinching claws, these are very, very hard. But it's, and the basis for that, apparently, there, the thing that makes those shells hard, chitin layer hard, are calcium salts, and they are very, very hard. But interestingly enough, sclerotin allows the exocuticle of insects to be even harder. The fact is, the mandibles of some insects are so hard that they have the ability to cut through metal. And this, to me at least, is an interesting little tidbit. And yet, these are still organic molecules. They're not; they don't contain any metal. They don't contain anything we think of as hard. But they were created in such a way that they allow the insect to do that. The lower layer of this cuticle is the endocuticle, and here the amounts of sclerotin and chitin are reversed. In the lower layer, the endocuticle, most of that is chitin, and about 30% of it is sclerotin. But the point of this little discussion being that the integument, the exoskeleton of the organism, is not just a simple layer. It is a relatively complicated layer. And it could not have simply formed as a consequence of some kind of bumbling around of biochemicals over a period of time. But it is testimony to the fact that it was initiated, created by an omniscient, omnipotent creator to perform a task that he chose, which is essential if these particular organisms are going to stay alive. Without them, they do not last very long. Without the exoskeleton, any of them will simply die very, very rapidly. So here in a seemingly unimportant, in some respects, organism, we see evidence of the intelligence and wisdom of a creator to provide for that organism what they needed, and to argue against the idea that it simply could have happened over a long period of time by some kind of process of evolution.
Thank you, Dr. Henson. You may send email to Dr. Henson at jhenson@bju.edu. That's jhenson@bju.edu. Or write to Dr. Joseph L. Henson, Box 34621, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, zip code 29614, in the United States of America. You're invited to listen next time for The Bible and Modern Science.